Certainly is good to see everyone today. Good to be here with you. Hope that everybody can come back tonight and hear about the report from India and hear about the work that's being done there. Don't forget, as you exit today, to grab a new one of the devotional sheets that we have for this week. If you have some pages that you're missing, we've got some of those back there if you want to grab some of those as well. Obviously, we've got several that we can put on our prayer list this week. Obviously, Miss Evelyn, we want to keep her in her prayers, keep the family in your prayers as well. Jan Milligan, and then Michaela, we want to remember her this week. Tomorrow's a big day, as they will be going to meet with the doctors and hopefully find out some good information tomorrow. So we pray that the report that they get tomorrow will be clear, and that it'll just be moving forward from there. So keep them in your prayers and put those on your prayer list this week. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. That's where we've been the first part of the year. Last week we talked about how that Jesus did not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fill it up, to fulfill what was commanded. And we used an illustration there, the first of which was found in verse 21 about anger. And how that we were used to, and the Jews were used to, the idea of just that you shouldn't murder. And if you don't murder, you're doing a great job. You're living up to the law. You're accomplishing what the Bible says. But Jesus said, it's more than that. It's not just that you don't murder, but it's that you don't have that kind of feelings in your heart, that you don't have hatred in your heart, that you treat people with respect and kindness and peace and come to solutions quickly. Don't have any friction or frustration with anyone. So Jesus filled in there what was meant by don't murder. Yeah, you shouldn't murder. Everyone gets that one. But Jesus says don't even have those ideas. Don't even have those things in your heart that lead to disliking and having trouble with people. So as we think about that, Jesus went on and really placed some pretty important teaching in here for us. And as you get down to verse 38, Jesus really starts saying some things that aren't always as comfortable for us to deal with. Because now he's telling us, not only should we come to terms quickly with people, but you know what? We shouldn't even have adversarial relationships with people. And that includes people who don't like us. That includes people who mistreat us. That includes people that do things harmful towards us. He starts that off in verse 38 by saying, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Jesus says, what you're accustomed to, and what the Jews were accustomed to, was in the law. It was expressly stated in the law of Moses. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Leviticus chapter 24, verses 18 through 20, read this way. Whoever takes an animal's life shall make it good, life for life. If anyone injures his neighbor as he has done, it shall be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Whatever injury he has given, a person shall be given to him. What were they used to? What were they accustomed to? They were accustomed to eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. They were accustomed to retaliation, in a sense. Restitution was what Moses had established, but what was restitution turned into retaliation. And Jesus says it's not supposed to be that way. Now you think about the law of Moses as it was originally given to those traveling Israelites. You got a million plus people traveling in close proximity. You needed some rules for restitution, didn't you? You break something of mine, you need to make it right. You hurt somebody, it needs to be made right. They had rules. But they had taken that and went a step further. Well, you hurt me, so I get to hurt you. You did this to me, so I get to do this to you. It's an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. It's in the Bible. How many people, even today, quote Scripture and say eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth? Still using the exact same analogy to say, I get my retaliation. I get my revenge. I get to get even with you because you did something to me. So, Bible says, I can get even. I can retaliate. But then Jesus had to come along and say, no. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what God meant. That's not what Scripture's all about. He said, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. Don't even resist the evil person. And then he gives that turn the other cheek philosophy. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, I don't think that Jesus meant for you to set out to find someone to slap you just so you could turn your face and let them slap the other side. I don't think he meant seek that out, but it's the idea of how we respond to being harmed. How we respond to someone who's an adversary. Do not seek our own vengeance. Don't seek to make things right ourselves. Now, as we think about this philosophy, and as we think about how Jesus changed this philosophy, open your Bibles to Romans 12 and verse 19. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, where Paul says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Vengeance belongs to God. Vengeance, judgment, making things right is His responsibility. It's His job. And you know why it's His job? Because He can handle it. He knows what's right. He is just. He is impartial. He is fair. And He will make things right. It's His job to be the judge. It's His job to make things right. It's His job for vengeance. It's not ours. We shouldn't seek our own vengeance. We shouldn't seek our own retaliation. Paul says, leave that to God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. The Hebrew writer says, for if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Now you might think, yeah, you should be afraid. If you harm me and I don't seek my vengeance, God's going to get you. That's not what really Jesus is talking about, is it? What he's talking about is allowing God to be God. Allowing God to judge. Allowing Him to make right the wrongs. Now let's face it, when it comes to retaliation, when it comes to what Jesus is talking about, do we ever really get ahead? Do you ever really get revenge? It can lead to a contest that has no winner, but only losers, that never ends. Jesus says, let God be the judge, but what you can do is affect your heart, affect the way you look at things, and affect the peace that is in your heart. We don't seek our own vengeance, but we let God judge. If we follow these instructions, our lives are better. We don't carry it around. You know how heavy a grudge is? You know how much it weighs on you? You ever seen somebody with a grudge against somebody else? If the person walks in the room, you see their face change, you see their reaction change, the way they talk, the way they act. You know how heavy that is? Jesus says, don't have that. Don't have that. Let that stuff go. In fact, not only do you not retaliate, Go the extra mile. Treat him with kindness. Treat him the way that I treated him. That's what Jesus is looking for when it comes to this eye for an eye philosophy. That's not eye for an eye. It's turn the other cheek. But then he has to go one step further. Okay, you've told me already. Already you've told me I can't be angry. I got to make friends quickly. I got to make things right quickly. Now you've told me I can't seek my revenge. I can't retaliate when someone does something wrong to me. When society tells me, get your revenge. When the world says, don't let anybody get the best of you, Jesus says, no, that's not what I'm saying. Turn another cheek. But then he takes it one step further. You go into verse 43. He says, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, hadn't he gone too far? Hadn't he gone a step too far here? You're telling me I have to love my enemies. Love those people who persecute me. Love those people who are mean to me. Now, I don't know when Trenton was young. I'm not sure what this girl did to him. But when he was in elementary, he had what he considered to be a mortal enemy. Her name was Raven. And I don't know what she did to him, but when he mentioned her, she was his mortal enemy. He did not like her. And we have enemies, don't we? Don't we have enemies? Sometimes we have adversaries. We have people that we have friction with, that we have frustration with, that every time we see them, we know it's not going to turn out well. And Jesus has the nerve to say, you got to love them. Pray for those people who persecute you. Now notice what he goes on to say. Verse 45, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's easy to love people who love us. That's pretty simple. That's pretty simple stuff. Love the people who love you back. And really, that's how we learn love, isn't it? Isn't that kind of how we learn love? Who do we love? We love our family. We love our friends. We love people that we like being around. We love people that love us. It's simple. It's easy. And Jesus says, I know that, so don't be proud of yourself. Loving somebody who loves you back is the easiest thing. Jesus says, I'm telling you, to be one of my followers, you got to love those who hate you. And Jesus is the example of what that means. What does that look like? As Jesus was here on earth, he was opposed, especially during his ministry, at almost every turn. He found opposition. And yet his response to that opposition was never one of animosity. He did drive the money changers out of the temple. But when people lied about him in front of him, when people accused him of not being the Son of God, when people confronted him, he did not respond in the same way that we're used to responding. And he went to the cross, and he did so for the people that loved him and for the people that hated him. There was not a specific group of people that he went to the cross for, unless you consider the specific group, everyone. Notice what it says. God sends the rain for the just and the unjust. A Christian has to treat their adversary differently. Is that not the point of what Jesus is saying? The point of the message here that Jesus is giving us is a Christian must act differently towards those that are their enemies, that are their adversaries. Do you see where Jesus is changing us? Do you see what he's trying to accomplish with us? Turn back to Romans 12 for a moment. Get the full scope of what Paul was saying there. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. He says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And Paul says a lot right here. He says a lot. He says, don't seek revenge. He says, don't repay evil for evil. Someone who does you evil, don't do the same back. He says, do what's honorable. Do what's right. Treat them the way you should. He also talks about, not only not retaliating, but doing good things. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Extend to him a courtesy that was not extended back. And don't misuse the idea in chapter 20 of heaping burning coals on someone. We can't be nice to somebody to heap burning coals on them. I've heard people misuse that verse before as well. What's the idea that Jesus is, or that Paul is expressing, that Jesus is expressing? We control us. We control ourselves. Notice what he said about living peaceably. As far as it depends on you. I can't control somebody else. I cannot make someone like me. It's impossible. I can't make you like me. I can't affect your opinion. I can't affect how you feel. But who can I affect and who can I control? I can control myself. I can control my heart. I can control the way I deal with things. And that's what Jesus is concerned about, is it not? When we are shaped and molded into the image of Him, we become like Him, and then our lives are enriched because of it. And that is what Jesus is after. You see, so many times when we're faced with an adversarial relationship, the focus can be that person, what they've done. They treated me wrong. They did this. But Jesus says, what about your heart? What about you? What about how you respond? Remember, he said, we are salt and we are light. We bring flavor and we light the way. And we do that by being so different than the world has called us to be. The world's response to an eye for an eye, the world's response to our enemies, is to get your revenge, and you do unto them before they do unto you. That's the world's philosophy. But is the world a happy place? Is the world at peace? Is living by the rules that the world has set make us a better person? I think we can all say no. But if we follow the pattern of Jesus, we become better. Our hearts are at peace. Our lives are enriched. And our lives mean so much more. It's easy to seek retaliation. It's easy to love people who love us. And it's easy to dislike the ones who dislike us. But Jesus never wanted us to take the easy route. He wants us to take the best route. We control us. And as much as it depends on us, we need to seek to be at peace with others and set the example and shine the light of Jesus to the world. As we close this morning, we have an opportunity. That opportunity is to embrace the life that Jesus calls us to. And as we read through this Sermon on the Mount, we see that He calls us to such a high level. But that calling comes with such a high reward. We get to live with Him and we become like Him. And our lives are so much better for it. If you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you. If you've heard the word, believe it. Believe the message of Jesus. Believe the message about what He came to do and how He came to give His life so that we all can be with God one day. Believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess that He is the Son of God and be buried with Him in baptism, having your sins washed away, being clean and whole in His sight. Maybe here this morning in the world and its messages have crept in. And understand the love that God has. And He still wants you to be one of His. If you have a need this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?